Right. Friends, as we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to hear upon the word of God from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 13. The words can be found on the screen. Let us read together. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. We know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we do indeed love you and thank you for this time together in worship today. We thank you for your love that you have shown to us as you guide us along our path, as you surround us with people who walk with us, who love us, who are there to be part of our lives, as you have made those tangible ways. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So it's difficult to hear 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure right when I started reading that, you immediately thought of a wedding that was your own wedding or a wedding you've been to. You thought about white dresses, maybe rented tuxedos, flower bouquets. Today's scripture that I just read is the most used common scripture that couples pick out for a wedding ceremony. So what was going on when Paul wrote this scripture to the Corinthian church, this hymn of love? For Paul, these words actually arose out of a pastoral crisis in the Corinthian church. The Christians were abusing their freedom. They were refusing to share. They were scorning their neighbors' spiritual gifts. They were seeking recognition for themselves and jockeying for position in the church. In essence, they had been using their gifts for not for the advancement of the whole, but for ownership of them and for personal gain. This morning, Paul was encouraging, was sharing with the Corinthian Christians a simple command. Practice love in a way that puts others first. As I finished the scripture in the sermon last week about who is God, we talked about God being creator and sustainer and all of these different words that talk about God. And I said, well, you can think of God in so many different ways of who God is, but if you don't think of God as a God of love, who is love, then we miss it. So this morning's scripture kind of continues on that theme and that thought about thinking about God, of a God of love and who is love and how we are called to exhibit that love to one another. And so as Paul writes, everything that he talks about love is, they were falling short on. And everything he talks about, love is not, well, they were doing pretty well. I'm sure they were like the Nazareth congregation and people as Jesus was beginning in his ministry. And when they heard Paul talk about what love and what love is and what love is not, they were probably like, you know, we're doing a great job. He's not talking to us. Who, us? Not us. They were probably thinking of gasps of shock than affirmations and delight. And the truth is that it's hard for any of us to really live up to the way and the standard that Paul talks about love. We all have room to grow. We all grow impatient at times. We all let our kindness down every once in a while. For the standard is, after all, set by God and made real in Christ. And we need a little bit more Christ and a little less JJ. Paul says that no matter what gifts we have to bring to the body, if they're not brought on the basis and in the spirit of love, that he gains nothing. They're useless, meaningless. For the Corinthian community, speaking elegantly was very important. And Paul says it's great to be a fine speaker, but if the heart is not filled with love, then eloquent speech just sounds like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In my ministry, I learned early on that people can figure out if you really care about them, and based on transparency and commitment. I learned early on, folks who are in ministry together want to know if you'll be there when you need them. Are you there, and do you notice the small things as well as the big things? Do they know that you care? Because until they know you care, they don't care what you know. They want to know if you really love them. If you're going to be there when they call. This week, I hadn't heard from my friend Bubba. Brandon, we call him Bubba. I actually messed up and called him Bubba yesterday. He's kind of transitioned to Brandon as he's gotten older and more experienced in life. So Brandon called me the other day, and my phone rang, and I hadn't talked to him in a little while. And I answered the phone and was like, "Are you butt dialing me?" Thinking like, "Why are you calling me? You haven't called me in forever." He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm printing bulletins." "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm on my way to the funeral home. My dad just died yesterday." I was wondering, I said, "Let me know what you need." He's like, "I want you to do the funeral." I said, "Okay." I looked at the calendar. He said, "When are you available?" I said, "You know, next Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, I can make it happen." He said, after he met at the funeral home, he said, "Send me a message. How about Saturday?" I said, "Saturday is quick, but we'll make it happen." So yesterday, went out to Elgin, led a service for his dad. Someone I hadn't talked to in many years called. It was a relationship that we developed many years ago. And he knew that if he called, I would answer. If I call him, he'll do the same. Paul continues in these initial verses to say that even if I have faith that can move a mountain but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions away to the poor in a spirit of boasting for personal spotlight but do not have love, that means nothing. See, it boils down to loving God and loving others. That's how we understand the gospel. That's how we understand our mission as a church. We can talk religiously. We can feel like we know everything about the scriptures. We can work tirelessly. We can give sacrificially. But if our hearts are not doing what we desire and know and say in response to Christ's love, then, well, we're just like any other organization. But the church is different because it's in response to God's love. We don't love so that we can be loved, but because we know that we are already loved and we want others to know that love. That's what makes the church different. Whether we're here on our campus or whether we're in the community, we do it in an attitude of putting others first. And so they're trying to figure out a word to talk about this type of love that Paul's talking about in the scripture. And at weddings, we always think of this romantic love and this type of eros love that the Greek word is, eros love, as expressed in weddings, this romantic love. But you see, actually, the type of love that Paul's mentioning in this morning's scripture is agape love. It's a different type of love. It's a God-centered love. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love to redeem all of his children, all of God's children. It's about not just a feeling, but an action, seeking not its own good, but the good of others and the whole. It requires us to take the other person and think about the other person first and to take a risk by showing your intent to give and to supply love regardless of the other person's response. You are showing your cards, showing your heart, showing who you are before you even know how they're going to respond. No conditions, no expectations, no stipulations. You just say, here it is. And we've seen the love best embodied through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. A love awakens believers to the transformation and renewal of love in the body of Christ. And as we love in this way, we take steps to be more like Jesus each and every day. One day there was a person who knocked on the door of a church, and this person had kind of been bouncing around from church to church and had visited before, but decided, well, they wanted to belong to that particular church and settle down. And so the pastor wanted to meet with them and visit about it and said, love for you to join this church. I want to meet with you, find out a little bit about your faith. And so the pastor said, with Christmas coming, he decided to ask him, you might be the only Christ someone sees today. And so we're going to disperse from this place here in a few moments. We'll enter back into the world and the community. We'll go to different places, meet different people. How will the community of Austin know that Jesus is alive in you today? How will someone who you haven't seen in a while or someone that you've met for the first time know that Christ was born in Austin just as Christ was born in Bethlehem? And that his abiding love, God's abiding love, is at work. How will someone know? That Christ loves them and Christ loves you. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your love and example. We thank you for the ways in which you call us to be patient, kind, how you call us to be people who speak truth in love, knowing that your love never ends. God, as we leave this place today, may your love surround us, and may we be channels and vessels to the world around us, a world so desperately needing your peace, hope, joy, and love. God, we love you and thank you for this holy time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.